Revelation, who's also coming again as a lion, and he can either be a lamb or a lion. To you, if you receive him as your Savior, he's the lamb that will save and protect you. Amen and amen. Now this morning, we read a psalm of David, and the psalms are right in the middle of the Bible because that's where the heart is in your body, and your heart reflects your emotion and how you feel toward God. And the psalms reflect the feelings that we get sometimes when we're seeking to walk with God and to serve God. And in this psalm, David's feelings are not necessarily right in agreement with the facts, because our feelings don't always agree with our facts, do they? So look at Psalm 1. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever?" Now, we know that God never forgets us, but we feel like it sometime, don't we? We feel sometime like he has forgotten us. And I think about sometime driving on a road and the guy comes up with a stop sign and our lane has to stop and the other lane just keeps going and going and going. And I say, "Did you forget this lane that I'm in?" And I feel like I'm forgotten and that we're going to sit here forever. But eventually the thing moves again, right? And the cars move again. And so it is with God. Sometimes you're in the waiting room. You're in God's waiting room. And you feel like it's going to be forever, that you're never going to get out of the waiting room. Have you ever been in a waiting room and you felt like it was forever? That's what the psalmist is saying here. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" Forever. You know, there are things that he wanted from God, and he's not getting them. And he's saying, "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Sometimes God shows his face and sometimes he hides his face. So we can't really see God clearly, and we just don't feel his presence. And "How long wilt thou do this?" And he says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" One of the reasons why we feel sorry and we feel sad is because we see evil triumphing. We see the devil getting away with it. We see the world's crowd getting away with it and bragging about their sin. And it bothers us, and we're wondering how long it's going to be. And it does affect our emotions. These two words, "how long," are used four times in the first four verses of Psalm 13. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever felt like this in your relationship to the Lord? How long before you're going to come through? How long before you're going to show me your face? How long, O Lord, before you're going to deal with my enemies and give me victories? And this message today is all about that. The name of the message is, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And I want to say three things about that from Psalm 13. Number one, it is a question that calls for you to do your part not to prolong the how long. Notice in verses 1 and 2, he keeps saying, "How long, O Lord, how long?" In other words, "Lord, when are you going to do this?" But what I'd like to say is this question calls for you to do your part that it might not be longer than it should be. You see, sometimes it's longer than it should be. Sometimes we blame God and say, "God, why are you making it so long? Where are you? Why are you not coming through?" But sometimes it's because you or I have prolonged the time. I think of what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. It says that it would only take, listen to me, 11 days for Israel to travel from Mount Sinai all the way to the edge of the Promised Land. 11 days. But I wonder if you know how long it took the Jews to get from Egypt, Mount Sinai, to the Promised Land. It didn't take them 11 days. It took them 40 years. You say, "Why did it take them so long, 40 years, to wander in the wilderness?" Well, They were Jews, and somebody dropped a quarter, Brother Matt, and they were looking for that. But no, seriously, they were prolonging the time. And you can prolong the time. And it says that in the Bible. And Israel prolonged the time that it took them to get to the promised land. And so sometimes you complain about the Lord taking so long. And wait a minute, you forget how long you've kept God waiting when you were backsliding. You forget how long you've kept God waiting when you weren't praying like you should be. You forget how long you've kept God waiting when He wanted you to tell others about Jesus and you weren't doing it. I remember as a young man of 18 and 19 years of age, I was going to Bible college. And I was praying to God for my wife and asking God to give me my wife. And I would go into the prayer closet. Sometime I would pray for 1 or 2 hours in the prayer closet. I had guys in my dorm. I was an RA, a resident advisor. And they would camp outside my prayer closet. And they would say, "Hey, Randy, what were you praying for? Were you praying for a wife?" I said, "Yeah, I was praying for God to give me a wife that He wanted me to have." But along with that praying, I had to make a commitment not to look at women with my eyes in a lustful way. I had to make a commitment to be pure before God. And I was 18, 19 years of age, but I was pure before God in the way I was walking because I was asking God, "I want you to provide a wife." And then I prayed about it, and I felt like God told me, "You know what? I don't want you to go flirt with girls. I don't want you to go even out with girls right now. I just want you to pray and wait upon me to bring your wife here." And I prayed and I waited upon God. And guess what? It didn't take too long after I made those commitments that God brought this girl, Kathy Leeser, up from Florida. And she later became my wife. And I know that was the blessing of the Lord. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And He has no sorrow with it. The Bible said a prudent wife is of the Lord. And one of the greatest things after salvation that will affect your life is the partner that you get. And God knows that. And so, how long, O Lord, how long? I really didn't have to say that to God. Because when I made that decision, God brought it through. And what a wonderful thing that was. But you know what? I've counseled a lot of young Christians. And they've broken God's principles for their life. And they've prolonged the time that it would take for the Lord to give them what they could have had they not disobeyed God. Had they not failed to pray. Had they not failed to walk with God. They have delayed the time and then turn around and complain, "God, how long, how long?" And I understand that. That's our emotion. But God said, don't you prolong the time that it's going to take you to get God's blessing. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. That what? We may apply our heart to wisdom. Wisdom is to not only know what the Bible says, but to know what God wants you to do with the knowledge you have. And so are you asking God how long, for some desire in your life? Well, then don't keep God waiting for you to forsake your own sinful lust. The Bible says we have not because we ask not, but we ask and receive not because we ask what? Amiss, that we might consume it on our own lust. God doesn't want us to be selfish. And so do not keep waiting when you are doing other things. Do not keep God waiting when you're doing other things instead of praying to God for what you need. Do not keep God waiting when you are not seeking His kingdom work first, but instead you're putting your own selfish desires first. I remember as a young man in Bible college, I ran into Charles Ware. He was a student at the Bible college, and he was focused on doing what God wanted him to do. That's all he cared about. He wasn't worried about getting a wife, and God gave him a wonderful wife. That was the perfect wife for him. But he wasn't focused on that. And, you know, he saw me, and we were friends, and I wasn't really free to serve the Lord with him. You say, what kept you from serving the Lord? Girls. I would go up to the snack shack before I made these commitments that I just talked to you about and look for some girl up there at the snack shack instead of doing what the pastor... Later he became my pastor, but he was my best friend. He said to me, Matthew 6:33, Bloom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. She'll get caught up like a jet plane. You'll be moving in the will of God, and she'll get caught up in your tailspin. Bloom, just get God's will and his kingdom work first. And you know what? When I did that, I was free to serve God. And I did God's work. And that's when God brought it in. And so I'm saying you can prolong it by not doing that. And so ask first, what may be causing a delay to the answer to my prayer? How long, O Lord? How long? Whether it's for that, whether it's for revival, whether it's for our country and the captivity we're in. You know, we prayed in 2020 that God would give us the victory in the election, that the globalist wicked people wouldn't get in, and Biden got in, and it seems it's been so long. It's been 3 years. Our country's been in captivity. And maybe you've been asking God, how long, O Lord? How long? Well, then ask how you can make sure that you're not prolonging God's answer to our prayer. We've been praying as a church. We've been fasting. But is this the fast that God wants? Or is there sin that is holding it? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear me. He'll delay the answer to prayer. And so how long is a call for us to do our part not to prolong the answer to our prayer? And I believe that that is so important today, because we're praying for revival. We're praying for a great harvest. We're praying for God to deliver our nation from captivity. And we're asking God for it. And sometimes it just seems like, wow, it is so long. It is such a long time. I remember praying for our country. And on Sunday night till Monday night, I would say after the 2020 election, let's fast. Let's pray. And let's get back here on Monday night. And let's pray for our country to be delivered from captivity. How many were part of that, that you did something in that? Amen. So you remember that, and you remember those days. And it came to a point where I just said, okay, I believe God has heard us, and we're just going to keep going forward now. But we did keep praying. I've been praying. You've been praying, some of you. But we need to ask ourselves, is there something I'm doing or not doing that is prolonging the answer to this prayer? Because God is able to do it. Amen? God is able to remove these globalists from power. God is able to push back the enemy's timeline for the 70th week. God is able, you see, to do these things. God is able to give us a great move of the Holy Spirit so more people get saved and more lives are changed through the gospel that we're preaching. But it may be something in me. There may be something in you. There may be something that we need to see what is hindering us. By the way, that's what the old great churches did in America. They would call times of prayer and fasting, but they would examine themselves. They would examine themselves to see what is it that's hindering revival. What is it that's hindering people getting saved and lives being changed and the church being built up? Because so many churches today are being built by Laodicea-type Christianity, lukewarm Christianity. They don't even have the right Bible. They don't have the right commitments. They're not really serving God. And so that will certainly hold us up, because judgment must first begin where? In the house of the Lord. Oh, I want judgment to come down on the Biden administration. Amen. I want judgment to come down on the globalists. Yeah, amen. But where does it begin? It begins with me. It begins right here in the house of God. Search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. You say, how can I search out to see if there... You get into this word right here. And you ask God with a book to show you. You get under the preaching, hot preaching of the Word of God. And let God speak to your heart. And don't be afraid to come to that old-fashioned altar. And God speaks to your heart and say, Lord, I'm doing this before you. I'm not just going through a ritual routine to come to the altar. I'm doing this before you because I want to be right with you. We'll be talking about that tonight, how you can get right with God and so forth and be clean. But I want to just say, how long, O Lord, how long is a question that calls for you to do your part, not to prolong the answer to your desire. You know, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Amen. A hope is something that you're expecting to get from God, and you're basing it on God's character and God's word. Something in the future, and you're expecting. And sometimes the hope gets really low, doesn't it? Like David. Was his hope low here? Yeah, he felt like he was forgotten. He was full of sorrow. He felt like God wasn't remembering him and thinking about him and hiding his face from him. His hope was low. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But it says the desire granted is a tree of life. In other words, when God gives you that thing that you waited on for, it's a tree of life. When God gave me my wife, she was a blessing that kept on giving. Amen. And still does. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. When we prayed for this building, we were being given such a terrible time in West Scranton at the building we were in. We were given such a terrible time. We couldn't do our baptisms. We couldn't do the Great Commission. We couldn't do this, and we were told we couldn't do that. And you know what? When the desire was granted in 1987, and we got this building just about 100 years after it was built, just about 100 years after it was built, God gave us this building, Brother Joe, with all of the stuff in it. You know that. He gave it, and this building is still being used for God. Amen?
Amen.
The desire granted is like tree of life. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. When you get things from God, and you do it God's way. So whenever you're waiting on God for something, let that be a call to you to prepare your heart to get from God what he wants to give you. And he's got good, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has great gifts to give us. But so often we get the things in our own. You know, somebody has said that love can wait to give, but lust can't wait to get. And sometimes we get things for our own lust. We want them that we can consume, and we can't wait to get it. And God says, no, if you got my love in your heart, you can wait to give. You can wait to be a blessing. And so love can wait to give. And so examine yourself, and it's a call for you to do that. Number two, how long, O Lord, how long is a question for you to petition God with reasons to shorten your wait? In other words, how long, when it seems like a long time, instead of just feeling bad and being depressed, why don't you learn to petition God and give him reasons to give you your request? And that's exactly what David did here. Now, I don't know what was going on with David. It doesn't say, but we know he was running from King Saul. He had helped King Saul. He had been a blessing to King Saul. And King Saul rewarded him by sending his army after him. King Saul rewarded him one time for playing music before him by throwing a javelin at him. And David had to avoid the javelin to avoid being killed when he was playing godly music to try to get rid of the devil that was tormenting King Saul. And that's how he rewarded him. And then he rewarded him by going after him. How would you feel in a situation like that? Well, David was feeling down. But what did he do? he allowed this question of how long, oh Lord, how long, press him to God with petitions and reasons to shorten his wait. And I want you to see verse 3 of Psalm 13. I'll read it. It says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Now, what's his first reason that he gives to God why God should give him a shorter time? Here's his reason. He's saying, "God, I don't live very long." By the way, David didn't live very long. He lived to be 70. That was it. He was done. And he said, "Lord, I don't have that much time. I don't have that much time. Lord, you have all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, you're God. But I'm a man. I only have so much time. So would you lighten my eyes? Would you make me see something before I die here? Because I don't have that long to live." I went out the other day with my youngest son, and he took me out golfing. We went up to Sleepy Hollow golf course there and played best ball for 9 holes. And we had a good time. And while we were driving back and forth, we were talking. And I was telling, he was saying something to me about investments. And he was saying, like a guy your age, Dad, he said, it's too late to really make investments. You have to invest when you're young. You know, you have to invest when you're very young. And that is a truth about investments. So many young people do not live on their less than they have. They should live on less income they have so they can put some aside to savings. And they don't do it. They don't. They hear it, and they don't do it, and they're dummies. And they just don't do it. They refuse to do it. And if you're here, that is a dumb thing. If you've learned, you need to put some aside for, live on a budget, and put some aside for savings, and it will accrue value. And later on, when you're 40 years old, which you think is old, it's not old. I'm way beyond that. And I'm saying there's a lot of living to do after 40. Amen. And you could have a lot just because you were wise and you did that. And that's what he was talking to me about. I said, "But you know, Brian, what I did do is I invested my life for the return." I said, "Let me tell you, this life goes by like that, son. Just like that, son. Goes by. Just wink your eye and it's bye." But I'm so glad my teens and in my 20s and in my 30s, all through, I was investing. And pretty soon we're going to have to cash in all of our cars, our houses, our money. You can't take any of that with you. And God's going to give us land on this earth to rule over. And it's going to be forever. That is... The Bible's very clear. Those are the true riches. And so that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration," that's when the millennium comes and the earth is brought back to its beautiful bloom. He says that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on in the throne of God in his glory, ye also, speaking of his disciples, shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he goes beyond, he says to you and me, "And every one that hath forsaken houses," I'm so glad I forsook my parents' house to come out here, "or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake," I'm so glad I forsook things in Florida, "for the work in Scranton." I claim these things. They're for me, Bubba. "For lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." He's talking about in the kingdom. There are many people right now, they may even be in the kingdom, but their priorities are out of whack. And they're going to be last in the kingdom. But those whose priorities are right. So listen, labor for that. Labor for that. Amen. And if God gives you a lot of wealth, Be like folks in our church when they're blessed, like the Bajak, they share it with others, like Brother Bob and his wife. They share it with others and they help others. Let's remember these things and be faithful. And so that gives God a reason to bless you, Brother Joe. It gives him a reason to bless your life, as Brother Joe has given God reasons. And then there's a second reason that you should give God to shorten the time, and that is the reason of the gloating of your enemies. Look at verse 4 of chapter 13. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Oh my, the reason of the gloating of your enemies. I think about King Saul, Brother Sarge. He had apple polishers all around him, people that were serving, you know, God, but really King Saul, because they were going to get money from him, they were going to get position from him, they were going to get this or that from him, and they would go after David, and they would go after, and I think of a lot of these Republicans today, and there, and of course the demon rats, they are out to get God's anointed president. Why are they out to get him? Because they think they're going to get something rewarded to them. By the Uniparty, by the rhinos. But let me tell you, God gives the last reward. Hey. And these people that are doing that, when you're fighting God and God's man, you're not too wise to do that. And so that is a good argument to use, is, Lord, these enemies are gloating over your people. They're gloating over your man. These globalists are rejoicing that they remove the Lord's anointed, Donald J. Trump. And they almost make it a crime. In fact, they do make it a crime to protest it, calling January 6th insurrection. No, it was a protest against the Pharisees, Sadducees that control the House and is wicked. And our country is in captivity. And it is a protest against what's going on. But no, you don't have a right to do that, say they. And so you can take that to the Lord. Amen. You can say, my enemies are gloating over me. And then we think of what Brother Bob shared about the gay pride events going on around the country. They had a whole month for gay pride. And what was shared is, and I heard them say this myself now, they said as they marched down these cities in America, we are here, we are queer, and we're out to get your children. Well, they want to get your children because they can't reproduce, you see. So they want to get the children of those that do things God's way, just like Sodom. Oh, this should be an argument for God to arise and to do something with our enemies. And believe me, that gives God a reason, because he sees the gloating. He sees the boasting. Remember Lot's house when they were just boasting themselves, and God sent the angels and then destroyed Sodom and delivered Lot out. But I'm just simply saying to you, we need to get rid of the carnality that Lot had. Right. And we need to get right with God, number one. And then number two, we need to give God reasons, like the shortness of our life, like the gloating of our enemies. I think about the great ship, the Titanic, when it sailed from England. One of the newspapers said all over, here is a ship that's sailing that is an unsinkable ship. It's designed so that it will not sink. And then the quote in the paper said, even God himself could not sink her. Whenever you say things against God like that, you're getting in trouble. Listen to these enemies that are gloating against God. They're going against God's plan. And use that when you go to God for God to stop it. And God will hear that prayer. And then also, you can use what's in 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God is saying, you can tell God, if you give me more time, I will live and take advantage of the peace that you give me to make sure that we get people saved, to make sure that we fill our church, to make sure that we send out missionaries and plant other churches, to make sure that we live for God and not try to make America the kingdom of God on earth like so many Christians have wanted to do. And like the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul rebuked them. He said, you guys think you're already in the kingdom of God. You think you're already kings. You think you're already reigning. Yes, we are kings, but the kingdom hasn't come yet. Right now, we're called to be like the apostles and to be like our Lord. And Paul said, we're suffering. We're pouring our lives out to fulfill the Great Commission. And that's what you need to do. You need to say, God, if you give me peace and you give me quiet, I will use it for you. I will use it to get people saved. I will use it to build church. And I'll use it to build other churches. And I'll keep on serving and keep on going instead of saying, oh, I'm going to make soft carnal choices and be selfish and be an entitled American. Do you know our reserve currency is being threatened in a very short time by the BRICS nations to be taken away from us? Because they're going to print money backed by gold. I'm talking about China, Russia, India, and South Africa, and these BRICS nations, you see. Brazil is another one. And that's what they're planning. And so, listen, we need to pray to God. Lord, if you keep us, if you put the president back, the one that we should have, and he could stop this under you, if you do that, Lord, and you give us that privileged position, we're not going to use that selfishly. We're going to use the peace and the plenty to be a friend of Israel and to get the gospel out. So how long, O Lord, how long is a question that calls for you to do your part, not to prolong the answer. And it's a question, number two, for you to petition God with reasons to shorten your wait. And finally, it is a question that should lead you to praise the Lord. Look at what happened with David. David went from feeling forgotten and forsaken to looking back at all the times God had helped him in the past. And he realized in verse number 5 of Psalm 13, he said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. You know what he was saying there? I remember being a shepherd, and a big bear came after the sheep of my father. And I trusted in God, and he gave me the strength, and I killed the bear with my bare hands. I remember being a shepherd boy, taking care of my dad's sheep, and a lion came out, and he was going to tear up the sheep. And I went after that lion, and I defeated that lion by God's help. God gave me the mercy to do that. And I remember when there was a giant nearly 10 feet tall, an experienced warrior that had never lost a battle, and he was threatening God's people. And I remember I trusted in God's mercy, and I went and stepped out in faith, and with a slingshot and one stone, I hit him in the forehead, and he fell unconscious, and I cut off his head and brought it to King Saul and got the victory. He remembered, and that changed his perspective from feeling down and forsaken and discouraged. And he said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. Can't you remember God coming through for our church in the past? I remember in 2016 when God gave us the president and defeated that wicked Jezebel, Hillary Clinton, and the globalist agenda. They had planned that all out. And I believe through the prayers of God's people across this nation and our prayers, remember that? Brother Bob, I know you do. Remember that? And how God came through? And think about the times in our past God has come through and given us times of harvesting and people getting saved and people getting baptized. And look at your own life at times when you were in a deep lot of quicksand and you couldn't get out of it. And God got you out of that. Do you remember those times? You see, David did, and you should. And so what does that do? That remembering leads you to praise. God did it then, Pastor Ware said. God can do it again. He blesses men. And notice in verse 5, that the second part, and verse 6, he says, "My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will future sing unto the Lord, because he hath in the past dealt bountifully." He had trusted in his mercy, and he saw God's. So he now knew in the future God would come through. I've seen God come through in the past. I've seen him save people. I've seen us go from zero buses to three buses. He's done it before. He can do it again. So put with your prayer and supplication thanksgiving and praise. And with prayer and supplication, put thanksgiving and praise for and remember what God has done in the past for you. And guess what? Instead of feeling down and hopeless and forsaken, guess what will happen? You will begin to have your faith restored. You will begin to see God again and see his promise again. And guess what? You will have hope that God can do something in the future. I stand before you this morning and I still have hope that God is going to bring down this globalist Goliath.
Amen.
And that he's going to reinstate a man, he's imperfect man, but I believe an anointed man to go against the globalists, and he's going to do it. I've seen God work in this church to save people and see them bear fruit for God. He's done it before, and I believe we're seeing it, and we're going to see more of it in the future. And by the way, that's a good reason to ask God to push this devil plan back and bless our Christian school and bless our church and bless our homeschool and bless what we're doing so that we can live for God. I want to just say to you this morning, when you're saying, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Make sure that that question makes you examine if you're part of the delay. Make sure that that question leads you to go to God with it and give him reasons to answer and shorten it. And finally, that question should lead you to go back to praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done, and therefore to trust him for all that he will do. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed.